This is a good segue from potential infidelity to actual infidelity. Or digital infidelity, which is a new term. I don't think that term existed not long ago. Thomas Gagliano is on the line with us right now. The author of Cheating Made Easy, The Age of Digital Infidelity. Thomas, how are you? Everything good?
I'm great, but that's not my book.
It's not?
No, my book is called Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup cost could last a lifetime. That's my book.
That's a better title. I like that title. Do me a favor. Explain what digital infidelity is for people who don't know.
Well, we live in the world of digital products, right? I mean, and digital infidelity is men who are watching pornography that are married or in a significant relationship that they should only be giving their wife or husband that attention. It's people on chat rooms, dating sites who shouldn't be there. It's infidelity. Your watches. It's all of these digital products, sexting, that people are doing nowadays, and they're really cheating on their significant other, whether it's husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. And a lot of this stuff starts at an early age. I mean, we got kids looking at porn as early as 11 years old, and they're looking at screens 7 hours a day. So what's happening is the brain is really getting these feel-goods, the dopamine chemicals being released that's giving them a feel-good on the computer, on screens. Now, you put a little bit of negativity in the childhood where the child didn't grow up with their needs in the proper nurturing way or in other ways. And all of a sudden, these things become addictions. And that's why we have a lot of digital infidelity now. We have a lot of people that are going to porn, chat sites, sexting, doing all of these things when they should be doing this or giving this attention to the person that they committed to.
Bill, are you paying attention? Because I noticed you were sexting and
looking
at porn while we were talking.
Sending Olivia Wilde a quick note. I'm fine. I'm back.
You know,
it's sound bites, right?
We've talked about this. Bill and I have talked about this in the past so many times. A lot of boys would go to their treehouse after they found their dad's Playboys. I would still look at them when I found the Playboys because it's like, wow, I'm going to get breasts like that someday. But it was hard work to find that kind of stuff.
Right.
Now, I cannot believe what you could punch in that Google box.
Any word in the English
anything
language.
And it comes up. And I mean, it comes up.
Yes.
Well, you know, what it offers people is also this. It offers, let's say, a man, for instance. I facilitate groups for men that have this, and it's an addiction. Like all addictions, it's in control of them. They're not in control of their pornography. And what porn gives men is, or women, is total control. It's I turn it on when I want, shut it off when I want. I look at the right the object I want to look at, the fetish I want to look at. I'm in total control. There's no relationship. There's no give and take. There's no compromise. And what happens is, you know, the spouse or the significant other is paying a big bill for this because all of a sudden the message is that they're not pretty enough or smart enough or sexy enough. And, you know, again, you spend more and more time with this addiction, and it's time you should be giving to your children as well if there's children involved. So there's a tremendous betrayal here, and people don't realize it because they think they're in control of this. And the reality is it's in control of them.
We're talking to Thomas Gagliano. Your first book, The Problem Was Me. The second one, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup can last a lifetime. We were talking earlier, before we got you on the line, about Hillary Clinton. And when Bill had some affairs, some extra curricular activities, if you will, Bill pointed out that half of the women were ashamed of her for taking him back, and half of them were proud. It's a personal thing. Can a relationship be mended after cheating happens?
Yes, and this is what I do for a living. I have couples like this, and first and foremost, it depends on the couple. Do they want to make it work? If you want to make it work, then I'll give you the actions that'll mend this relationship together again. But if you haven't made that decision to go forward, you should get out then, because then you have to work on it. You have to work it to make it work. So when I have people that want to work on this, I put the men in my groups where they could talk to other men that have gone through the same thing and build back intimacy with their significant other. And I also work with the women and explain to them, you know, it's not about not being pretty enough, young enough, or sexy enough. You know, what addiction is, it's filling a hole. It's filling a need. It's filling a void inside like all addictions do. And I believe that pornography is probably going to be the biggest addiction we have in our society today. So, yeah, it can be mended. but you have to work on it for it to work. And that's the decision each individual couple has to make first.
A little while ago, Thomas, you said men who are addicted to it and women, you kind of threw that in parenthetically.
Yeah.
What's the breakdown? It's mostly men, isn't it?
It's mostly men, but the percentages are evening it out more and more because, again, you know, we have in our society today, a lot of women are working, moms are working, dads are working. They're not watching what sites their kids are going on as much as they used to. They're not being curious enough with their children. What sites are you on? Why do you go on those sites? You know, and as it grows. And as you said earlier, it's so easy to view any of these things. It does grow in women as much as it does in men.
What about Facebook? I know there are, we've talked about this on the show sometimes too, where people reach out to maybe an old high school flame when a reunion's coming up or an old boyfriend or old girlfriend. And all of a sudden it makes it easier to, hey, let's meet for coffee. And sometimes things can be rekindled.
Listen, honestly, nothing should be done on the QT. Secrets kill relationships. So if you're going to work, if you're going to be on Facebook talking to anybody, your wife or your husband should see it right in front of you. They should see what you're writing. It has to be brought to the light. If you're sneaking it around, well, your intentions aren't good then. Maybe it's not just to say, hey, how you doing? How's the kids and this and that? Maybe you have other intentions, and that's why I tell couples, you can't have secrets. If there's abuse and addiction, secrets you may need to keep yourself safe, but if there's not that kind of insanity going on, you don't want secrets. Secrets have a life of its own, and it makes it worse. So if you're going to do Facebook, you do it right in front of your spouse. You let your spouse see what you're writing, and make sure you keep them safe first. If you're going to have an intimate, healthy relationship, both people have to make the other one their priority in their life. If you're not the priority of each other, you're going to have a problem.
All right, but say that I want to contact an old boyfriend. I will do it and tell my husband, hey, I just talked to so-and-so on Facebook. I'm not going to say, Jim, come look over my shoulder while I type things. That would be weird.
Why is it weird?
It just, I'm sure he wouldn't enjoy it. I mean, I don't care. I'm not hiding anything. But wouldn't it make him feel uncomfortable?
Let him make the choice. If you have a good relationship, he won't want to know. But if you have a relationship where there are little secrets or you're not really intimate, intimacy is intimate, it's the inside. If you have a relationship that's really not that strong, he might want to look at that. So I give the choice to the spouse. Why? Because you're telling them they're important. They're the priority. They could turn it down. My phone rings or text message. My wife could look if she wants to look, and if she doesn't want to look, she doesn't have to look. So this is the relationship you need to have, is that you make the priority your spouse. And if you can do that and keep those communications going, there's less likely the shot that you're going to end up getting yourself into the place you don't want to be.
Thomas, one of the cornerstones of most addictions, including Alcoholics Anonymous, is admitting that you have a problem. Is that the case with something like digital infidelity? Are more people willing to admit that they know it's a problem?
Absolutely. Look, addictions are symptoms. Addictions are like switching seats in a Titanic. A guy goes from gambling to drinking to drugs. They're symptoms. The real problem is the negative core belief inside. There's something I need to make me feel whole. That's what drinking does to alcoholics. It's a delusion, but in their mind is, if I drink enough, I'm going to be okay. It fills a void in my belief from childhood. So the same thing with porn. It's filling a void it shouldn't be filling. And as all addictions, it wants even more and more. And the first step is, I can't handle this myself. I need help. And when clients come to me, that's exactly what they're saying. I tried. A million times I stopped. But you know, Tom, I was never able to stay stopped. That's addiction. You may stop, but you won't stay stopped unless you get help.
Can I ask, what is it about people's brains? I know several people that you almost just described to a T, where they switch addictions. They're addicted to one thing for a while and then move on to something else and then something else. What's going on in that brain that's not in everybody else's brain?
It's an emotional illness. They're not fixing what's broken. If all I do is stop drinking and put the cork in the bottle and I'm not fixing the brokenness inside, the wounds from childhood inside, I will then put the cork in the bottle and I'll find drugs or gambling or something else. I'll go to a different symptom. I'm a recovering addict. That's why I know this. And I came from a childhood where the message was I was not important. I wasn't valued. And I've searched my life in addictions to fill that void until I figured out it's not the addictions. It's really more the void I have inside, or that emptiness I had inside, that I need to fix myself. I need to go back, challenge those core beliefs, and know that I am valued. I am important. It's not true. And that's how you fix what's broken inside. If all you're going to do is stop an addiction, you're going to end up finding yourself with another addiction.
Thomas Gagliano on the line with us, addiction and relationship expert. We're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. His latest book, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup can last a lifetime. It was released last month in September. And you can go to thomasgagliano.com. I cannot wait to come back and ask him a question about different addictions that may not be dangerous, but they can still be an addiction. I'll tell you what I mean. 312-981-7200. It's Bill. It's Wendy. 720 WGN.
Thomas Gagliano is our guest. His book is called Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup can last a lifetime. Thomas, can I ask you the dumbest question anyone's ever asked you?
You got it.
Are you any relation to Phil Gagliano that used to play for the Cubs and Cardinals?
Oh, my God. When I was a little kid, no, I wasn't, but I remember Phil Gagliano. There wasn't a lot of Gaglianos around then, and I remembered that name and saying, man, somebody's got the same name as me.
No. All right. No relation. All right. Just making sure.
Cool.
All right. Thomas is an addiction and relationship expert, and I have to talk to you about a couple of addictions I have.
Sure.
One of them is shopping.
Right.
Sometimes I will go online to a website and put things in my shopping cart, and then I close it. I exit out, and I forget that I've done it, and I don't realize that it hasn't arrived, but it gets me that thrill of putting something in my cart and pretending I've bought something.
Right.
Is that a problem?
No, I think you have to assess, you have to take your own inventory. If something is making your life unmanageable enough, then you have to look at it as being addictive. Now, usually, we look at addiction in three different ways. We say, one is, am I having legal problems because of addiction? If you're spending more than you're making and you're going into bankruptcy, you got a problem. Two is, if I'm losing my employment because of my addiction. I can't get up for work on Mondays. I'm too busy looking at the computer. I'm not doing well in work. Or three is family problems. My wife or husband's going to divorce me because I can't stop drinking or gambling or blah, 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 blah. So those are the three areas you have to look at, which will give you the answer as to whether or not you've really crossed that line of addiction.
All right. Well, I can continue shopping and I can continue playing Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Because that's an addiction for me, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? The brain, you know, gives off these chemicals, the endorphins and the
dopamine. I have ADHD, so that's how I quiet my brain when I do something like that.
There you go.
Do you agree with this, Thomas? I talked to a guy once about addictions years ago, and he said in his belief, once you start becoming late or miss work because of something, that proves that it's an addiction. Do you believe that?
Yeah, that's one of the three things I just mentioned, is that if you have employment problems in any way, from whatever that is you're doing, that's a sign it's making your life unmanageable. And that's one of the three, as well as legal problems and as well as family problems. I mean, if you're, you know, if your wife or husband is fed up with you and says, look, you get help or get out, you got a problem.
Can everyone be cured from an addiction or not?
I think that the way to cure an addiction is really through therapy, through professional help, as I do, and to fix why. Why is that, whatever it is, feel like oxygen to you? Why do you feel like if I don't have it, I'm going to die? I mean, our cemetery filled with people that thought they could handle their addiction, and they couldn't. So what is it about what's broken in me that I believe that that becomes oxygen to me? I cannot live without it. And to do that, you got to, like what I do in my groups, we go back and see what was broken inside of you at an early age that you need this so bad to survive. And that's really what addiction is.
And Bill, you had said in the past you had some gambling issues and you quit cold turkey and
yeah,
you did it on your own. But some people honestly need help to get through addictions,
yes,
whether it be gambling, smoking, heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not as easy to just say, that's it, I'm never going to do it again.
Right.
Some people need the extra help. Thomas, right, this was fascinating.
Thank you.
Where do we find your book? On your website?
Yeah, you can use theproblemwasme.com. It's easier, and that's the title of my first book, which my wife totally loved the title. So, That was my first book, and the new one again is Don't Put Your Crap on Your Kid's Diaper. If anybody leaves me a message on theproblemwithme.com, I will get back to you.
Excellent. So nice to talk to you, addiction and relationship expert Thomas Gagliano. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank
Thanks,
you,
Thomas. Absolutely. A quick break, some news, and then more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.